Lord's help this evening, I will direct your attention to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." It has always been a question in religious circles as to when the kingdom of God should come. It was so in these days. It is so today. Even the disciples, who we might say should have known better, they themselves could do no more than visualize a kingdom that could be seen in this world. And so in the Acts of the Apostles in the first chapter, we read, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" Israel and the Jews and the disciples, of course, had lived under the tyranny of the Roman Empire, and their idea of salvation was to be delivered from that sea and to have the prevalence and the reigning power over the Romans and not the oppression which the Romans brought. They envisaged a wonderful occasion when the Jews would be filled with pride as the nation that God had lifted up and raised above all the opposition which Antichrist brought forth. And there are many people in religious circles today who are looking for a kingdom to come which will be so distinctive and so powerful, and in the end the whole world will be converted to Christianity. But in coming to these conclusions, it is very clear that some parts of the scriptures have been completely overlooked. Firstly, the Lord Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world, else would my soldiers fight." And yet, I know we do speak of the church militant, but the church militant is not, as some may consider it to be, but rather that which is referred to in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, where he speaks, "For put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And these things are very often not visible at all. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And we may just briefly read these verses concerning the armour. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The Pharisees are asked this question: when the kingdom of God should come. When their idea of the kingdom of God should be seen. Many undoubtedly are looking for a kingdom to appear, which they can easily conceive, and their natural mind can grasp. And so they're looking for it. But all the while, this kingdom of God is being raised up, and though it is hidden from many, yet God day by day is bringing to pass the things of this kingdom. Now there are two points, principally, that we would dwell upon, as God may help us in the text. First of all, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, or as the margin says, with outward show. And secondly, that behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, these are the two principal points. May God help us to look at them this evening. So the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Some of us can look upon our personal experience of the kingdom of God, and we know very well that it did not come with observation. Being born of the Spirit, having the nature of God, was not seen, but something was suddenly felt. And so we are witnesses to this truth: the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. It was there. There was no outward show. But it came. It came mysteriously. It came suddenly. But it nevertheless came forcibly. God's kingdom set up in the heart, Christ sitting on the throne, the desire of the soul being toward Christ reigning. Evidently, here is a kingdom that supersedes the kingdom which did reign at one time. By nature, when we're born into this world, we are all under the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness. And that being so, what little likeliness there is of us ever being aware of the truth or seeing the truth when it comes. It is a wonderful thing when God brings to our hearts the life of God. There is a wonderful expression in the scripture, the grace which is to be brought unto you. Now, you see, many people seem to have the idea that you've got to get grace. You've got to pray for grace. And you've got to seek for this and that. And much emphasis is laid upon the importance of seeking. But those people who are in the kingdom of God will know that to be true, they were sought out. It was not their seeking, but it was because God sought them out. And suddenly God was on a throne in their own hearts. And God was directing their spirits. And God had effected such a kingdom in them, in the new nature, that made them willing to listen to what the Lord had to say and follow that. Surely we can see this clearly enunciated in a few characters in the scriptures. Think of Abraham. Abraham was surrounded with paganism. There was nobody to tell him to seek God. Nobody. In the midst of pagans of all kinds. And yet, God suddenly spoke to him. And he said, come out. Come out. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. He was quite blind, and the voice that he had heard, yes, it was the voice of God, undoubtedly he was persuaded of that. But it was the God that he didn't know before. No doubt he was an idol worshipper. But so God said, get thee out of this country. Get thee out. We should remember that Ur of the Chaldees was a prosperous city. So, naturally, there was no reason for him to get out. And naturally, for there was no reason that he should ever want to get out. But God's kingdom came not with observation, but suddenly he felt the effect of it. And suddenly he felt the power of it. Get out. Get out. And if God speaks, then that will be a very powerful word. Just coming to the New Testament, we know the enmity that was in the heart of Saul of Tarsus. And at the very day when this kingdom was to come to him, this grace was to be brought unto him, was the day that started, as many other days before, when he was going to persecute the people of God, persecute the Christians, put them into prison, make their life uncomfortable. And then suddenly, without observation, until the brightness, there was a brightness that shone above the brightness of the sun. And then there was a voice which said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. And there were those with him. They saw the outward, but they knew nothing about the inward. The kingdom of God, as we read in the next verse, is within you. And what God does within you will not be seen by the ungodly, be they ever so near to you, they may wonder what's happened, and they may be greatly puzzled, for they will never understand. Now, we've just taken two cases, one from the Old Testament and one from the New, which surely demonstrates that the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. But what is the kingdom of God? It's not the idea that so many people have, but it is the kingdom Christ reigns. It is the kingdom wherein Christ is revealed. It is the kingdom where sinners find hope of salvation. It is the kingdom of the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the kingdom of heaven instruction. Now we're still on the earth, but God has taken possession of our souls. God himself has begun to reign in our hearts. God has given us a life in our souls. That is entirely new from anything that we ever felt before. Now, I want to make this clear, because it may possibly give some of you hope. For who can tell that God may come and sort me out and put me amongst the children? Who can tell? Maybe you find, some of you may find an opposition to the things of God, and have all sorts of thoughts bringing you to almost a don't care spirit. But what a blessing it is that the kingdom of God has a great king, and at the time appointed he will send here the means by which he will arrest, and by which he will bring this soul and that soul to God. And they will not say, well, this is how it began with me. I began to seek the Lord. If you began to seek the Lord, there must be something before it. And that is that God sought you out. There is a teaching of the Lord Jesus which says, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now you see, many people will lay a great deal of emphasis on saving, but let us also join and not separate what God has joined together, to seek and to save. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to save my soul from danger interposed his precious blood. And it didn't come by observation. Did you see it come? Has God quickened your heart? Did you see it come? Did you feel it come? And you say, what's happened to me? Something has happened to me. Yes, the kingdom of God maybe has been set up in your heart. And you've realized what you are by nature. You realize that you are in simple, you're a simple creature. Now then, why do you feel that you're a simple creature? Because God has brought you into a new kingdom. And that is a kingdom of holiness, a kingdom of righteousness, a kingdom of love, and a kingdom of bliss and happiness. And you feel perhaps that you're out of place. What a blessing it is that as God works in this kingdom in your heart, without observation from the outside, you begin to see that this is the kingdom. Oh, this is the kingdom. But I fought with hand uplifted high. Maybe some of you have been in that place, are in that place now. But the appointed time rolls on apace. And we should notice, though, in trying to come to some order in this text, And the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. So we need to make a few descriptions relative to the kingdom of God in order that we may realize that it has come. We didn't see it come, but we've now felt the force of it has come. Indeed, this is a kingdom of order. The world itself is complete disorder. We shall not have to go to great lengths to prove that to you, I'm sure. Complete disorder. Wherever you look, there's uncertainty. Wherever you look, there's indecision. Wherever you look, there's a lack of persuasion. Wherever you look, even if some things seem to be settled, yet you cannot be sure that something will not arise in a day or two to upset every settlement. But this kingdom is a kingdom of order. In the Epistle to the Corinthians, we read that all things be done decently and in order. Now that is the order of the Church of God, or should be. And it is God's order. And an experience that we may have over a period will bring us to this point, that everything God has been done in order. There's been no rush, there's been nothing forgotten. Everything has been ordered. Now we read, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And we should remember this, that where God orders, he does not have to detract or go back on what he has said. He does not have to say, well, now we have to alter this, we've made a mistake here. Well, the footsteps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. They're not ordered just to satisfy the women fancy of the Almighty, but they are ordered in order that you may be profited and instructed by every step that you take. In the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, we read those words, he found him in a desert place, and he led him about, and he instructed him, and he kept him as the apple of the eye. Now this is one of the writings on the wall in the kingdom of God. He found him in a desert place. That is of course a reference to Jacob. He found him. Now it's good to begin your testimony that God found you. Where did he find you? Some cases are not found in the chapel or church at all. Other chaos cases are found, yes, in church and chapel, an outward religious profession, but you're found with your mind miles away, having no thought or desire for what's going on, except that which appeals to the natural mind. But God found you. Oh, it's a great blessing, a great wonder when God find you, and he will find you amongst a thousand people. Oh, he will find you. My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. And this is one of the acts of God's power in regard to the kingdom of God that cometh not with observation. Have you been surprised sometimes at the response that your soul has given to what God has to say? When he said, as it is recorded in Corinthians, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. Where did the voice come from? Did it not come from this kingdom of God, which is in heaven, And did it not also have its reflection and response in the kingdom of God which is within you? I want you to remember, from the word of God we read, that Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now this is a great mystery, but this is how it is when the kingdom of God comes. Christ has come to dwell in your heart and to be there. So every good thought, every good desire is not proceeding from the natural mind, because it is impossible for the natural mind to think one good thought, let alone a good thought of God, about this kingdom of God is a kingdom of power, but the power which works by love. Everything that God does in this kingdom, and it is a kingdom without length or breadth or height or depth. We can't enclose it with so many walls. No, we cannot enclose it even by putting a ceiling on a certain place. No, the kingdom of God is worldwide. When the Lord Jesus, God gave, it was the Lord Jesus that spoke to Jacob, you see, and gave him the vision of the ladder which reached the earth, but reached also right into heaven, and the angels were ascending and descending upon it. Jacob's repercussion was this: how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God and the gate of heaven. But there was no place like we're meeting in now. No, it was the house of God. Why was it the house of God? Because the kingdom of God was there, and the kingdom of God was in Jacob's heart, and because the kingdom of God was the presence of God in Jacob's soul. But how did that kingdom come? Did Jacob know it? Did it not come without observation? And surely this is a characteristic that may be encouraging to you. There's not a lot of false things that are spoken in the religious world today, and maybe you could be very discouraged by people saying, well, this is what it is, and this is what people feel, and this is what people should do, and this is what is required of them to do. And then perhaps you may be sitting and hearing another godly person narrating a few points in their own experience, and you may perhaps say, I've nothing like that. But that's not the yardstick. The yardstick is in the Word of God. The Word of God will describe to us the features of the kingdom of God. The heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, says Solomon, much less this house which I have built. And cometh not with observation. So, has the kingdom of God been set up in your heart? Did you suddenly feel a change? Now, don't look at other people and say, well, of course, this feeling that I have, the circumstances, they're so different from anybody else's. Can you find in the scriptures the very situation which describes the way in which you were sought out and brought into the kingdom of God? The Word of God makes this point clear. We do not well to compare ourselves among ourselves. And there are ever so many people, even amongst us, I fear, who they keep comparing themselves among themselves. But the kingdom of God is to compare themselves, yes, not with anybody else, but by the love, favor, and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus indeed sought me. Did he seek you? This is the beginning. It's not the beginning, it's not when you began to seek God. That's a false beginning. And there are many people that begin there. They come in part way along the road. We find ignorance. He came from the city, town of self-conceit. And that's how he started. He began to get into the way. About what happened to Christian. Is that the way he started? Here he was in the city of destruction. And suddenly God sought him out. And God, seeking him out, made him realize that this world was a city of destruction. And if he stayed here spiritually, though he may have to stay here physically, yet he would perish with the wicked. So he cried, goes forth crying, life, life, eternal life. The kingdom of God had come. It hadn't come to his neighbors. At that time it hadn't come to his wife, but it had come to him. Now you may look at your own hearts, and what a wonderful thing it will be if it has come to you. Now this is God's sovereign purpose and love. Jesus sought me, the kingdom of God. Jesus, in seeking me, communicated his own person and nature into the soul. Take the blind man that was born blind, and the Lord Jesus opened his eyes, and the Pharisees were very disturbed about this. They wanted to corner him if they could. And he said, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, and now I see. Now it is good for us to keep within our compass. The man didn't say, yes, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. If a question had been put to him, do you believe on Jesus Christ? He would have been completely nonplussed. But he said, one thing I know, and this is one of the features of the kingdom of heaven, it's a kingdom of knowledge. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. And he didn't go any further. But then, even with that confession, he was cast out of the synagogue. And Jesus found him. Now, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Now this man couldn't say that he knew Jesus, but Jesus knew him. And so Jesus sought him out. Again, despite the fact that this man's eyes had been opened, yet he didn't know much about Jesus Christ. But that didn't prevent Jesus Christ coming to him, so he was sought out. And the Lord said to him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? The kingdom of God had come with observation, not with observation. He wanted to know the truth. Oh, who was this man, Jesus Christ? I, that he that speaketh unto thee, am he. And the Lord Jesus so caused that word to be spoken with power that he said, the man said, I believe. And he fell down and worshipped. We should notice in this very chapter that we have before us of the 10 lepers. Now, they had a bodily affliction, which was very solemn and very sad for many people in those days. And as Jesus passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And of course they had to stand afar off. And they had to put their hand upon their lips and make it clear to anybody that came near to them that they were lepers. Then they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Well, surely we've got here very clear evidence that here are 10 people who have received the Spirit of God, and they are seeking for mercy. But we have to remember there are many, many people who cry out every Lord's Day in the various churches and chapels, "Have mercy upon us, miserable sinners," and they don't mean it at all. But nevertheless, and when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, this is one point that you are in the kingdom of God. A miracle has been wrought. And their leprosy, sometimes spiritually considering it, we think of sin, which is so contagious, which gets into the walls of our houses, as well as in our bodies, which comes up with great sores and boils and so on all over us. And it has to be investigated. Sometimes, if you look at into the book of Leviticus, the priest had to look at it very, very carefully. And sometimes the people were set aside for a week or a bit longer to see how this saw was actually working. But to come back to this, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. Now, the characteristic of the kingdom of God is a glorifying of God. There were 10 healed, but only one returned to give glory to God. And we may say, only one. There was into whose heart the kingdom of God came. It wasn't by observation. They all were healed. On the outside, it all looked the same, but one was different. Oh, one was different. And that one returned to give glory to God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now, of course, you may remember that the Samaritans had nothing to do with the Jews. Or rather, we might say the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. But here was a man, a Gentile, an outcast. But this man had the kingdom of God raised up in his heart, and his desire was to glorify God, to give thanks unto God. Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, "Rise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And the kingdom of God was there, but it didn't come with observation. It didn't come with a great show. It didn't come with the sounding of trumpets. It didn't come with calling so many to the front say that they'd received the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the secret work of God in the soul of this poor leper, an outcast from the commonwealth of Israel. And God spoke to him in his soul, changed his heart, put him amongst the children. And he would have to say, if asked about the kingdom of God, it came not with observation. I couldn't see the beginning of it. It was there. I felt the beginning. But I didn't see the beginning. There are cases when people aren't able to speak somewhat clearly about the beginning. But sometimes I like to look at it like this. We are quickened by the word of truth. We have the parable of the sower. The seed is the word of God. And that seed may be dropped into the heart sometimes. Now what does the seed do? It doesn't come up straight away. And there are some seeds that we might become very anxious about. Because after 2 or 3 weeks, well, we wonder what's happened. And if we should have investigated, because of our anxiety, we might find, there was nothing growing up, but there was a lot growing down. Now the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, because the rooting process is the first part of growth. And so it is with the things of God. So then, you may not see anything by observation, but God sees it. God sees this root taking, this root going gradually down, and so to speak, creating a firmness in the earth before there is a sprouting upwards. So that's why the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. We find Job had a lot of persecution, as I'm sure you know. But there was an occasion when he was particularly troubled. Begins on the 19th chapter, "How long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words," and so on. But subsequently he comes down to this: "Why do ye persecute me as God, and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were written with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the at the latter day upon the earth," and so he goes on. But then we come to this verse: "But ye should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in him?" Well, how could they see that the root of the matter was found in him? It was because, being so much troubled, so much vexed, so much persecuted, yet there was a confidence of faith which said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. And not mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Just think of one of the beginnings of Saul of Tarsus. Now, it was dramatic in one sense, but not so in the worldly sense. It was necessary for God to speak to Ananias about Saul of Tarsus. And as the God began to speak to him, says Ananias, "I've heard much about this man, and how much evil he hath done to the saints of Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name." But the Lord said, and this is all in the kingdom of God, nobody else knew, the Lord told Ananias, but the Lord said, "I have heard, the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me." Now you see, this is in the kingdom of God, the secrets of the kingdom of God. and to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake. There was something that had been said, and that was this: "For behold, he prayeth." Now, nobody can tell when a person begins to pray. Very often those people that stand up and pray as some of the Jews used to do, well, they haven't begun to pray. But this was one thing that God told Ananias: he prayeth, behold, he prayeth. Now, who would have believed that the kingdom of God had been set up in the heart of Saul of Tarsus? What was the significant point? God would look down. He could look down upon his kingdom because he was sitting on the throne of his kingdom. And he knew prayer had come forth out of the heart of Saul. Many prayers had doubtless come out of the heart of Saul in the past. They were all pharisaical prayers. They were all setting forth the great I. But now, what wilt thou have me to do? And you see, that made all the difference to Ananias. It made a bond, as it were, between the two. There was nothing to go on apart from what God had communicated in the secrecy of the kingdom of God. And so, so Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul," they were joined, you see, in spirit. The kingdom of God has this effect of unity. "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way." God had told him about this. And is this the way in which God speaks to you and to me in these days? You know, sometimes you may think that if God has begun a good work, if he has set up his kingdom in your heart, that nobody knows. But God can say, God can tell another, this woman, this man, this child, he prays. And this will immediately produce a bond, because if you are in the kingdom of God, you will be praying. Maybe you could be praying for the very person whom God is now going to tell you the kingdom of God has come. Not by observation, but it's come, and that person is praying. "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation," but we must join it with this other verse: "For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And so much religion is an outward show. But real religion is within. Our demonstration of outward religion, perhaps, shall I say, could be found in our being here this evening, or at a place of worship when the doors are open, where the gospel is preached. But that's only a little part, a very, very small part, if the kingdom of God is within you. Because the kingdom of God, you will come under the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ, under the influence and power of the Spirit of God. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, not your good pleasure. No, but his good pleasure. And there is a verse in our hymn book which surely discloses a very important important knowledge that you are blessed with the kingdom of God. You couldn't see it come, you only know it's there. The kingdom of God, reign o'er us as king, accomplish thy will and powerfully bring us forth from all ill, till falling before thee we laud thy loved name, ascribing the glory to God and the Lamb. The Samaritan did this, the poor leper, and we shall find that Jacob did this, and Abraham did this, and Saul of Tarsus did this. They gave glory to God. And surely, as we turn to the Revelation and get a view of the saints in heaven, what are they doing? Unto him that washed us from our sins by his own blood. Glory, glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. But the effect of that, the experience of that, is personal. But you may say, is it always just personal? No, it's not always just personal to be contained in ourselves. If the kingdom of God is in your soul, and the kingdom of God is in my soul, there will be a feeling between the two of us. It is encouraging to read in the book of Malachi, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard, and the book of remembrance was written to them that feared the Lord and to them that thought on his name." I believe it was one of John Bunyan's pilgrims who said he liked good company. Now, you may not be able to say very much, but do you like good company? Do you like to hear what the people of God, you know they're the people of God because you can see that the kingdom of God is within them. Do you think upon his name? Oh, yeah. The ungodly will not think upon his name. And if you have not the Spirit, you will not think upon his name. But if you think upon his name, we must surely identify you as one to whom the kingdom of God has come, not with observation. Maybe you ponder this point. Yes, I do think upon his name. But there was a time when I didn't. So what has happened? What has happened? Well, God has caused his kingdom to come, and you didn't see it, but it was there. And furthermore, it came within you, into your soul. Into your soul. So then, may it be ours this evening to encourage ourselves in with these words: the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, when the scripture it says, examine yourselves to see whether ye be in the faith. Now, there's one point I want to make here, because some almost take the idea, I dare to examine myself, because I'm afraid I shall find that I'm not in the faith. But the word of God doesn't say anything about not being in the faith. It is to those who are in the faith. Now, the apostle writes under the power of the Spirit, examine yourself to see whether ye are in the faith, to have the sweet consolation that the kingdom of God has come, and that it does dwell within you. May the Lord grant us profitable self-examination and forgive all that has been amiss, and make the application to the honour and glory of his name. Amen.